The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday of Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Gospel. It's taken from St. Luke. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, bewildered by the roaring of sea and waves, when men fainting from fear and for expectation of the things that are coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand. And he spoke to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are some things that I would like to bring to your attention from the bulletin. Of course, there will be a catechism class this morning. I'm sure that Father will not keep it very long because of the weather. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we will have the usual Sunday Vespers and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Thursday of this week is the first Thursday of December, and we have Holy Hour and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament twice that day as listed in the bulletin. And Friday also is First Friday, and we have all day Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament as listed in the bulletin. Saturday, of course, is the first Saturday. Thursday of next week is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and is a holy day of obligation. And the day before the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is a day of fast and abstinence. The novena, there will be a novena here in the church, and I suggest that in your own homes you start the novena. It starts this Tuesday. Be mindful that it is not a matter of just, again, as we said a moment ago, of having an empty ceremony, and therefore we have an empty prayer. The novena to the Blessed Mother presupposes that in the prayer that is said for the purposes of that novena, that we in our lives will adjust our lives accordingly, and that it is rather than the prayer, it is the offering of our lives that she will be looking to more than anything else. And the conduct and our demeanor in our lives will make the prayer effective. If our demeanor and our lives are not in any way affected by the prayer, then the prayer is, of course, quite useless and quite a waste of time. The calendars are again are available this year. Again, they're very beautiful. They're exceptionally beautiful this year. And as I said, please see Father Francis for the calendars if you want one. Thursday of this week is the 1st of December. By the grace of God, as is listed in the bulletin, we dare to present ourselves to the whole wide world. And we are going to exhibit what is called a web page. I find it difficult to use that vocabulary, but that's the vocabulary of the day, so I might as well get with it. We have a web page, and it will be ready for viewing. The information is in today's bulletin. And tell your friends about it. And I want you to pray that this is not in any way done absolutely, positively. And if it is done with any pride in any of our intentions here, I ask that it will be a complete failure. But we present this to God under the auspices and the help of St. Michael the Archangel. And we present it to God and to all in the world who are willing to look and listen and read. In all humility do we present this to Him. We ask for your special prayer for this. This is no small thing. And that in the presentation of it, even though we may be talking about the monks in particular, it goes to you as well. And that whatever is said on that page, it's quite lengthy, it's got a lot of information on it, and I want your impressions when you see it. Not flattery, honesty. I want your impressions that whatever is said on there as members of the Christian order, and that our attempt to live this Christian order in its highest expression, its best expression, that we, whatever is said there, we must live up to what is said. I pray for your very, very special help in this regard, that God will be with us. This, we are not the ones that are in the confines of this building. No, indeed. We are not. There are those of us that are scattered here and there, a few here, two or three there, five or six some other place. And as we will tie this in together with somewhat of a little talk this morning, that we form the family of God. As we said earlier, this family of God, small in number, but always there, while everybody else, for some strange and unaccountable reason, of course, it is unaccountable, not unaccountable, but it is accountable, they fell into loving images, gods, of all sorts. And they went to those gods and asked for help from those gods because they were not satisfied with the help of the one true God. And though all and through all the generations, this went on. And it was only a small grouping all the way through that maintained their knowledge and acceptance and commitment to the one true God. And when it did come, when he finally came, unfortunately, when he came, in a most unbelievable situation, he came in the form of a man, in the form of a very ordinary man. He came in the form of a poor man, not as a king, not as a military leader, not as a great political figure, but a very ordinary person, less than ordinary maybe. And he came, and all the way from the deprivations and the problems and the meager existence of that poor, unadorned stable on the other side of the city walls. Inside the city walls, everybody said no to him, and we must not judge them harshly. Inside the city walls was no place for Jesus Christ to be born. And he was chased out. No, get out, not here. Until they found the proper place for the Creator of heaven and earth to be born in. It was the only proper place. And from that moment, from that place all the way to the top of Calvary, where he was hung on a tree, a criminal, a common, ordinary criminal. That was the life of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God. We might look upon him as a man like one of us, and might see in him no more than the ones of his day saw in him. They saw him. They talked to him, they touched him, they argued with him, they fussed with him, they condemned him. And you know, with all of this, they did not see who he was. They had no earthly notion of who he was. And so it must be with us, or must not really be with us, as we look upon him. We must see who he is. It is urgent that we do so, my beloved people. He is not a man as such, and only a man. You know, when they were taunting him and condemning him and screaming at him and spitting upon him, you know how he took it? When he, with just a mere blink of his eye, could have sent the whole kit and caboodle of all of them into utter annihilation and inexistence. But he didn't. And he stayed there. He stayed on the cross. He did not come down as they taunted him. And he paid no attention to them. And you know, it was interesting. When he came back after his resurrection, he did not go to any of them and say, "See, I told you I could rise from the dead. Here I am." He did not go to them. They chose not to be part of him. They chose not to be part of his family. And therefore, they were not part of his family. And he had nothing to do with them. Now we are part of his family. We continue, small as we are, to be part of that family. There are those, my beloved people, who choose not to be part of his family. It is their decision. They made that decision. And so let them be as they are. Let us pray for them. Let us pray for ourselves. And let us make an honest commitment. It is not a matter of just coming to church. It is not just a matter of us saying a prayer. It is not just a matter of us lighting a candle or whatever. If these things do not definitely change within us a way of life, then all of them are for nothing. All of them are for nothing. We belong to the religion that he left behind, and we have to foster that. We have to protect it. We have to live it. Nothing invented, nothing of a personal nature that this is the way it is, nothing emotional, nothing that gives into our emotions, but rather a living, a reliving of the life that he set before us. He gave us every, not only did he tell us what to do, tell us about it, he in fact showed us how to live it from the moment that he was born until the moment that he said, it is finished. So with us, we have to save our immortal souls. We have to show him the love that is appropriate for this. At the same time, this love that we speak of must be shored up, must be supported by the good works, by the acts of penance and mortification and reparation that every one of us must perform if we expect to save our mortal souls. Without love, our acts of mortification are nothing. Without mortification, our acts of love are nothing. They go together. They work together. And we must, my beloved people, in every way, do what we can to do our part in the kingdom of Almighty God. It is, like I've said before, serious people giving serious worship to a serious God. May you and we, may God be with us. May God stay in your homes and our home and bless us and keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from the floods. You know, last week we finished out the year with a word of warning, did we not? Very interesting. You would think that the church in her wisdom would start out this, the new year, which is today, a new liturgical year. You would think that the church would start out with something that is more pleasing. Not so. Not so. The church once again presents to us the gospel of warning. It ended the year with warning. It began the year with warning. And so let us be mindful. Let us, as St. Paul said, let us rise from sleep. It is not easy to rise from sleep. It is not easy for us to have to do the things that the one true God tells us that we have to do. So much easier is it to do what the other gods tell us, not the golden gods, perhaps, of once upon a time, but rather the green God that is ours of this day. So let us give honor and worship to the one true God without going around holding banners, just simply living lives that are appropriate, that are good, that are holy, and full of wisdom. We must pray for wisdom. Solomon, once when God asked him, what do you want me to give you? And Solomon asked for wisdom. He could have asked for everything else, but no, he asked for wisdom. And so Almighty God asks us, what do you want? And we must ask for wisdom, that in all things may he be glorified. My beloved people.